Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Tom Nugent and we're looking ahead to another weekend on ITV. Delighted to be joined by Messrs. Rory Delargy and Matt Chapman. Gentlemen, is it too late to wish each other a Happy New Year? Who knows?
Not at all.
No, well, Happy New Year.
No, absolutely not. Especially Rory, I want to wish him the best for the year. And Tom, lovely to see your face again. Usually when I see you're throwing a sort of custard pie in my face or something, but not on this occasion. It's quite nice.
Yeah, no, it's weird the way we're in technology, not in the same room. So if we were recording in the same room, you'd have to be watching over your shoulder. But no, good to see you both. A really, really good weekend of racing. And we've got lots to look forward to. But before we begin, a quick reminder, Paddy's Pick 5 returns for the weekend, worth $25,000 this weekend. Free to play. Check out the details on paddypower.com. But we're going to get stuck in. Action ITV, Sandown and Wincanton on Saturday. Highlight being the Grade 1 Tolworth Hurdle at Sandown. Racing gets underway on ITV at 1:15 at Sandown with the Read Nicky Henderson's Unibet blog handicap chase. And we have betting here. Jem Moran is the 7-4 favourite for Charlie Deutsch and Venetia Williams. PJB 15-4, 5-1. Skippy on certainly red is 7-1 and 8-1 and bigger the rest. Matthew of the Chapman family, would you like to lead us off here?
I'll be fascinated to see what Rory thinks about this race. I went around in quite a lot of circles with this race because initially my thought was I want to try and take on Jem Moran if I can, because the history of this horse probably dictates that he might not be much better than we are seeing. But having gone round in those circles, I was really struggling to find something that would be better suited or indeed better handicapped for this event. The simple truth is that he jumped really well from the front at Southall last time. I was actually working in the studio at Sky that day, so I remember the race perhaps even more clearly than if I haven't been. And Arjet, the runner-up, has since gone out and won. The big negative, of course, is that he's up £10, which is a significant hike. They do seem to go up a lot these days just for a win. But when you consider the strength of the form, the fact that although this horse might not have that much more to give, he has only raced 15 times. So there is a chance that he can improve over the fences still. And then the side of the coin that I didn't really fancy any of the others. So I was left very boringly with Jem Moran, I'm afraid.
Rory, what do you think? Matt is waiting with bated breath, apparently.
Yeah, well, I think and Matt's looked at this race in a similar way to me. I'm inclined to be against Jem Moran because he's bound to be pretty short. I think he'd be shorter than 2-1 on the day. People tend to look at Venetia Williams, look at her record at Sandown, think we're probably going to get more rain before the meeting as well. So the ground is liable to be pretty testing. And people automatically assume bad ground, Venetia Williams, January, easy peasy. And while he was impressive at Southall last time out, he has looked a bit of a gaff track horse so far. So this is a big ask for him going to Sandown in a better class race. It'll be interesting to see how the horse who finished third at Southall gets on today. Rakeen Steele, who I believe is declared to run today. He was a 50-1 shot that day. And he kind of ties the form down a little bit. I suspect that Arjet, who was second, just needed the run there and will improve to win in his next start. So there's slightly mixed messages over how strong the form is. And I backed Jem around a couple of times last season, but he's a slightly disappointing finisher. You know, he often got his own way in front, didn't always see his races out, and he was beaten at the likes of Southall and Hereford last season. So he does need to improve to win this race. And like Matt, I was looking for something to beat him, and it was a bit of a struggle. You know, there are questions over the other ones. You know, the fact that a horse like Certainly Red is carrying 11-11 and a Sandown handicap shows that this isn't as strong as it might be, with the greatest respect to Lydia Richards, who's done really well with him. I like Precious Eleanor as a mare, but she's badly handicapped. The race she won at Cheltenham in April fell apart. She had a handicap mark of 124 there. The horse who was third, just ahead behind the runner-up, was more than two and a half stone out of the weights. So I don't believe that's particularly strong. And she was well beaten last of four finishers at Market Raisin. And the horse who finished second in that Cheltenham race was pulled up in that Market Raisin contest. So she looks badly handicapped for all. She's a lovely mare. I'm going to take a chance on one, and you do have to take a bit of a chance on PJB. Now, his jumping is a slight question mark, but he was a progressive novice hurdler last season. He won here. He also won at Sedgefield, and he was a good fifth in the EBF final, which tends to be a very deep contest. Now, he was fairly well beaten on his chase debut at Carlisle over 2 miles, but he was essentially ridden with a view to the future there. That trip would have been too short for him. It was a warm contest. He closed up late, having lost his place down the far side. His jumping was okay without being you know, brilliant. And then he fell at Haydock last time out when he was heavily backed. He was backed into favouritism on his handicap chase debut last time. Fell up, just got a little bit too close into the seventh fence and came down. He jumped okay up to that point. Over the first two or three fences, he was actually making ground in the air. I think he will make the grade as a chaser. He certainly has the manner of a chaser about him. The way he goes through his races gives the impression that he will make a chaser. He just needs a bit more practice over his fences. Sandown, not the ideal track for a horse who might be a slightly suspect jumper, but I suspect he's learned enough from his first two starts to be competitive. And I've got no doubt that off a mark of 1.27, he's the best handicapped horse in this race.
Tom, just to give a quick view on the weather, which is always a dangerous thing to do, as many TV presenters have found out in the past. But I live 10 minutes down the road. I'm basically a mile from Kempton, 10 minutes to Sandown. Beautiful sunny morning. We're recording just before lunchtime on Friday. Beautiful sunny morning and quite windy, but 10, 11 degrees. So the ground could only be drying out today. Now, the weather is gradually going to get worse. In other words, the beautiful sunshine that we've got at the moment is going to disappear slowly throughout the afternoon. And effectively, it could rain at any point, but not guaranteed to rain at all until tomorrow morning. But there looks as though there is no doubt, unless they've got it completely wrong, that it is going to lash down at some point tomorrow morning and possibly at various times during the afternoon tomorrow. But I would say between 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and midday tomorrow morning, there is going to be plenty of rain at Sandown. So that, again, if you're betting on Friday, I'm just saying it, there is an element of it might just be waiting to see what it is early Saturday morning.
And so concludes a comprehensive meteorological update from Matthew Chapman. Race two at Sandown. Well, we're going to stick with Sandown. 150 is the next race at Sandown on ITV. It's the Unibet Horse Race Betting Operator of the Year. Handicap Chase and Grey Diamond is at the top of the market at 5-2. Corrigan Rock 11-4. 3-1 Frero Banbow. 7-1 The Last Day. 9-1 Dreams of Hope. 12-1 Excitations. And 25-1 The Outsider Gladiator. Alan, Rory De Largy, what do you like here?
I have backed one in this race, and I have to throw that out at a bigger price. In fairness, I backed Frero Bamboo because he was put in too big. He's a lot shorter now, but I thought he would, if the rain comes. I think it's probably quite important to him at this trip. If the going turns soft or heavy, then that will very much suit Frero Bamboo, who's a strong stayer at this trip. He didn't have the pace to go with them late at Ascot last time out. Bear in mind, when he ran at Ascot, that was his second start of the season. But Venetia hadn't hit form at that stage. It took her longer for, I think it was early December before she had her first winner of the season over fences. Normally, we expect Venetia's horses in November to be on fire. But she had a very quiet month. Frero Bamboo actually came out in October. At Ascot and finished a good second, looked like he was going to have a good season. Both of his runs so far have been on good ground, but he will appreciate it much softer. He was, of course, third in the Grand Annual at the festival of a 1 pound higher mark in March. He's often looked like he wants 2.5. He tends to get a little bit tap for toe and then stays on late. But Venetia's, she knows the horse better than most, and she's persevering at this trip. I thought if the going turned soft, it would suit him better than most here. And he's definitely well handicapped off a mark of 140. So although I'm against Gemma Ront in the previous race, I was with Frero Bamboo here. Although I do have to admit that I was backing him very much in terms of price because I think the early there was 8-1 on a place about Ferrer Bamboo, 6-1 elsewhere. I thought those were badly out of line. I think 7-2 is much more realistic. I'm not sure he should be favourite. I think Grey Diamond is probably the correct favourite here. Sam Thomas hasn't had a winner in a while, but his horses have been running well. They're generally getting placed, and he ran very well to be third to Amarillo Sky at Cheltenham last time out. The question with him is the ground got very bad. He was well beaten on heavy ground at Wincanton this time last season, so he wouldn't want it hock deep. He does handle soft ground perfectly well, but the wetter it gets, the more that comes into the more that suits Ferrer Bamboo, and I want to see as much rain as possible on Saturday morning.
Matthew?
Well, I tipped up Ferrer Bamboo at Ascot, and he never really looked like he was going to do anything much, although the finishing position wasn't terrible. I just wonder if he's still a bit high in the handicap at the moment. But time will tell, and the rain will be crucial, as Rory said. Lucinda Russell's is a stable I rarely get right, but I'm going for Corrigan Rocky. I thought he just looked like he was progressive. He's only had 9 runs. He was a good winner at the track last time, and that helps, doesn't it? Because usually you get the sort of Northern Raiders, or in this case, the Scottish Raiders, they come down, they haven't been down south much, but of course, Corrigan Rock was a good winner at the track last time. He jumped really well, has gone up 9 pounds, but has only raced 9 times, is very lightly raced. And I just thought he was an in-form horse. Incidentally, just on that stable, I was lucky enough to be standing next to Lucinda Russell at a different track when Slate Roll was winning at Newcastle last time. And I've never seen Lucinda as excited as she was about Snake Roll, and she basically said on that day that she thinks Snake Roll could be the best horse they have ever had. And when you think they've had a Hoist and Ewer and Cheltenham Festival winners in the past, it was quite a statement. So keep Snake Roll on your side for the future. I'm going to keep it quite simple. Last time out, winner at the track, has gone up a bit, but I think can follow up. Corrigan Rock.
Corrigan Rock for Matt Chapman, +1 for the tracker. 225 Sandown Grade 1 action on ITV. It's the Unibet Tolworth Hurdle and Authorised Speed. Tops the betting with Paddy Power for the Moore family. 7-4. Tamoris 2-1. 3-1. Arctic Brazil flying the flag for Ireland. Lastro Boy 12-1. Nemean Lion is 16s. 25-1. Colonel Harry. Blow Your Wad 40-1. Alongside You Can Tango. Matt Chapman, can you tango?
I can dance to a certain extent, but I think if a professional tango dancer would argue that I can't. Okay. Why, do you want to do a tango with me, Tom?
Not particularly, no, I was just interested. Anyway, carry on. What do you like in the Tolworth?
I'd imagine you'd have quite cumbersome feet, to be quite honest. But anyway, very dull, very quick. A lot of people are saying this is a very deep Tolworth. I've got to say, I didn't see it like that, really. I don't think this is chock full of absolute talent. I can see the top three are all capable of better, but I've been really impressed with Authorised Speed because I cover a lot of the southern tracks. When the Moore stable have been winning with their 2 or 3 good youngsters this season, particularly at Lingfield, I've been lucky enough to chat to them about this horse quite a lot. And there's a real twinkle in the eye. That doesn't mean anything. Stable's going well, even with no hopers like Editor de Gite and Jupiter de Gite. In fact, it's a bit annoying that Authorised Speed's not called Authorised Speed de Gite. But anyway, I think the stable's in form. It's quite interesting. I've written about this on the weekend. It comes from the Cheltenham bumper. And if you actually go through the Cheltenham bumper form, outside of Facil Vega, and I guess you can throw in American Mike, but American Mike was beaten last time. But the bumper form from Cheltenham is absolutely pants. It really hasn't worked out at all apart from Facil Vega. But clearly, Authorised Speed is talented, and I'm hoping that this horse will just go in for the Moors. Look, he'd have absolutely, you know, what it up last time without the blunder at the last. He just looks a good horse to me.
Rory, is it as simple as that? A lot of whisperings in Ireland that Arctic Brazil is very, very nice.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell how good Arctic Brazil is. And in fairness, York Hill came over and won this. But I was going to say that the top Irish trainers, when they send horses over for grade one hurdles at this stage of the season in the UK, it always seems to be a little bit of a fact-finding mission. It's rarely the best horses that come across. He's incredibly hard to weigh up. He won a falsely run novice hurdle or maiden hurdle at Cork in December in good style. Quite well fancy for that. Sent off 11-8. dictated. It wasn't a truly run race. The time figure he produced is very, very ordinary. But that doesn't mean he's no good. It just means it's incredibly hard to weigh that form up. Clearly, he must be good enough to do himself justice here. There's no point bringing a horse like him over if he's going to finish in the ruck. You've got to think he's good enough to go close to send him here. But he doesn't appeal to me at 7-2. I think Authorized Speed is the right favourite, but I'd want to see the rain to back him because he's clearly very effective on testing ground. His fourth in a listed bumper at Newbury is not particularly strong form behind Top Dog and Rosy Red Rum. But he's shown himself to be a better horse. Of course, he did finish in front of Hullenback, who ran very well to be second in the entry bumper. But yeah, the more rain that comes for him, the better. He's shown his best form on softer, heavy ground. And if it did turn heavy, which it can do much quicker on the hurdles course at Sandown than it does on the chase course, then he's the one I'd want to be with. But I'm inclined to have small each way bets on a couple here who seem to be overpriced to me in terms of what they've achieved. I would say both Colonel Harry and Blow Your Wad have achieved as much on paper as Arctic Brazil has. Arctic Brazil is, what, 130, 7-2 shot top price. And Colonel Harry and Blow Your Wad are, you can get 28-1 and 40-1 about them respectively. Colonel Harry is a course and distance winner on heavy ground. Again, that's not an easy race to get a handle on. He made all the running there. I thought he shaped very well over further on his debut at Uttoxeter. He's clearly improving. Jimmy Snowden's in good form. I thought he was the type to take a step forward again, and we know he'll handle the ground. And I thought Blow Your Wad was, you know, for a while, maybe he's got less scope for improvement than one or two of these, having had a few runs in bumpers and two over hurdles so far. But he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He was a good fourth in the Grade 2 bumper at Aintree in April. And he then shaped well on good ground, which is probably quick enough for him on his debut over hurdles at Ascot. Stepped up on that. He was favourite, but he stepped up on that to win with a bit in hand at Kempton last time out, looking like he wanted a stiffer test. He's from the family of Fochin. He will definitely appreciate the stiffer track. I thought 40-1 about him with first time cheek pieces put a lot of people off. Tom Lacey does well with headgear. So I'm not put off by the cheek pieces for him. Listen, there's probably a couple better than him in the race, but you'll I think the sort of 8-1 that you'd be getting for the place about him underestimates his chance by a fair degree. So he would be the first one I'd be looking to back each way. Small stakes, because I'm not enormously confident punting in novice hurdles at this stage of the season, but he's definitely overpriced at the top odds on offer. And I would have a small each way bet on him. Colonel Harry, another one that I'd look to keep on side as well.
An excellent angle into the race, courtesy of Rory De Largy. Onwards we go. 3 o'clock Sandown is the next race on ITV. And we have a 3-mile veterans handicap chase here, the Unibet Veterans Handicap Chase. Prime Venture, 9-2 favourite with Paddy Power. Ramsey to tie, tops the weights, and is the 9-2 joint favourite. Snow Leopard S 6-1, 7-1. Kustar Savola, Saint Xavier or Xavier, 7-1. Ballyandy 11-1 alongside Cross Park at 12-1 and bigger the rest. Matt Chapman, what did you like?
Well, if they weren't veterans, if they were just all about 2 or 3 years younger, it'd be a really good handicap chase. I mean, it's still a good handicap chase, but obviously some of them are just going over the edge a little bit. I'm going to stick with a horse who's clearly in good form, goes right-handed, even though was a good winner last time left-handed. Has got up £5 for that success, and the horse is Saint Xavier. I just think he goes in the mud. He stays all day. He's not quite as old as some of the others. And to be fair to Lily Pynchon at the moment, who I believe is looking out for a sponsor. While she seems to be looking out for one, she's bagging in winners left, right and centre. So she's publicising herself really well. Richard Thompson trains. Look, there are any number, as I'm sure, well, I'd hope at least Rory would agree, that if they just rolled back a year or two and brought their best form to the table for whatever reason, and let's face it, these old horses will have a few aches and pains, and if they don't feel them on the day, the chances are they could do that, then there are a whole load in here who could win it. But I like the fact that Saint Xavier is in good form, and although he has got up £5, he's been, as many of these have been, a lot higher in the weights in the past. So there's no real reason why he shouldn't at least run some sort of race. So I have a few quid on each way.
Rory, what do you reckon?
I completely agree with Matt here. I think this is the race of the weekend. I think, you know, this is the kind of thing we should be seeing on TV. I can have a bit of a moan about Wincanton when we get to it. But these are really popular races. And it's great to see a big field for this final. Yes, obviously, by definition, the youngest horse in this race is 11. So most of them are a little past their best. But you watch the previous runnings of this and you don't think, oh, these horses should be retired. They all seem to absolutely love it. And the fact that they're not up against horses who are a stone ahead of their mark, who can embarrass them, is a really good thing. I think the introduction of veterans chases has gone much better than anticipated. And this is going to be the race that most people enjoy most at the weekend, I would suggest. Really interesting contest. You can make a case for a lot of them, certainly on old form. The question is with a few of them who are getting long in the tooth is whether they're still capable of showing that. But there's no doubt in my mind that San Xavier is well treated here. I thought a 5-pound rise for that win at Haydock was very, very generous. I know you don't want to be putting veterans up much more than that, but he'd become well handicapped with Richard Hobson, who's said this publicly a couple of times this season. His horses were wrong last year. He couldn't get them right, and they mostly disappointed through the season. San Xavier is one of a few from that yard to become well handicapped. I thought he absolutely bolted up at Haydock. I thought he won really easily. I thought that was a really competitive race. The Two Amigos was back in third, beaten 11 lengths, but on and won the Welsh National. Black Lion, who's a specialist in the mud at Haydock, was well beaten in fourth. Kustar Sivila, who was well back there and runs again here, was well beaten. And I thought it was a very reliable race. And I thought San Xavier won with a lot up his sleeve. So £5 is not a harsh rise. Worth bearing in mind with this race that only one horse in the history of this has carried more than 11 stone three. Four winners have carried 11 stone or less. And if you decide that that's an important feature, then you're not left with that many runners that you can fancy. Sir Ivan and Indy 5 or 13-year-olds. Kustar Sivila obviously has a lot to do to turn form around with San Xavier. And San Xavier only has 10 stone eight on his back and just seems to be thriving at the moment based on that run at Haydock last time out. As Matt says, he does go right-handed as well. He was the winner over hurdles for Paul Nichols on soft ground at Kempton. So that it shouldn't be an issue for him going this way around. There's lots of pace on here. He likes to sit just off the pace. So that will set up nicely for him. Lily Pynchon shouldn't be long looking for a sponsor. She was a capable jockey last season. She's improved an awful lot. She looks strong in a finish. And really, it's a bit baffling that someone hasn't actually approached her already looking to sponsor her, because you get lots of value out of that. So if she hasn't got one by the end of the weekend, I'll be stunned.
Lovely stuff. We sign off from Sandown on Saturday at 3:35. It's the Unibet new and improved Bet Builder handicap hurdle over a truncated 2 miles. And Jello tops the betting with Paddy Power for Charlie Deutsch and Venetia Williams at 7-2, 4-1. ICO likely squeeze 4-1, 6-1 in the air. 8s Dr. TJ Eckelberg alongside Hardly Desoy, and it's 12-1 and bigger the rest. Rory, you lead us off here for the last race at Sandown.
I thought this was a horribly difficult race to get a handle on, mainly because there are two ways of looking at Jello. He absolutely bolted up on his debut for the yard at Exeter. That was off a mark of 114, but he looked absolutely thrown in that day. Unfortunately, he turned out under penalty in what didn't look a particularly strong race, went off at 1-3 and got beaten. The chances are that race came too soon from 10 days on. From his debut, having been off for over a year beforehand, and he could easily bounce back. If he does bounce back, he looks interesting. Venetia gave the impression that she knew he was well handicapped on that debut, so the mark of 129 shouldn't prove beyond him. But it's a little bit difficult to back him as favourite, given that a repeat of his run from last time wouldn't be good enough to win this. But I suspect if he bounces back to the Exeter form, the problem with the Exeter form is, in terms of what he achieved there. There's not much to take from those in behind him. It was a pretty ordinary contest. And the one thing you take out of that was just how easily he went through the race. You can't sort of look at the form and go, oh, it's worked out well. The third has won since. There's not much, there really isn't an awful lot to take from the form in behind him. But he looked like a horse who had a lot of class about him. It's just a case of, can you back him as favourite after the fact that he he was a little disappointing last time. It's easy to make excuses though as well. So he's not a horse that you'd be really confident taking on either. So I'd be playing small stakes here because of that. And also playing reasonably small stakes because I'm not entirely sure of where we stand with ICO, who would be my pick in the race. He was an impressive winner on his debut for the yard after a break at Kempton last year and looked like he was going to take high order among the juveniles, but he then disappointed twice. In grade two company, it has to be said, both times. He's a horse who looked like he needed further than 2 miles. I'd be keener on him stepping up to 2.5 in truth. And I think he's a horse who's got long-term potential. He looked like things came a little bit too quickly for him last season. But Paul Nicholls talked about him as if he was a bit of a stayer, a horse who would take time. He said a lot of horses in this mould, horses who've done well initially as juveniles, but who really need time and are chasers down the line. And Icy was almost certainly in that camp. I don't know whether he's going to be fully wound up for this, but the fact that he won on debut for the yard suggests that he will be. He's also wearing the usual headgear. If the headgear's left off, you tend to think this might be a run to get them fit. I doubt that's the case. He would be my pick in the race because I think there is potential for him to be a lot better than 1-3-1 down the line, but I'd be playing small stakes because there are just too many question marks over a few runners in this race to be really confident.
Matthew, what did you like in the last at Sandown?
Well, I think Rory summed it up really well. The problem with Jello is, as Rory said, like pulled like a train. Your gut feeling is bigger field will settle better and probably can produce more. But it was a little bit in the Gemarand mould. But if I could, I wanted to take it on. Gemarand, in the end, I couldn't take on. So I ended up with Gemarand. But with Jello, I thought I could. I'm going to stick with Lightly Squeeze. Brian Carver and Harry Fry. The trip is no problem. Stays all day. Goes in the mud very well. In fact, loves mud. So if it is raining heavily Saturday morning, that will be no problem. And I didn't think the horse was badly handicapped. I don't think he's particularly well handicapped. But, you know, if you can be not very well handicapped, but still be good enough if the others aren't absolutely chucked in. So I'm just going to stick with Lightly Squeeze. Again, it wasn't a race. Well, it was a race that I spent some time over, but I wish I hadn't in some ways, because a bit like the Gemarand race we talked about earlier, I went round in a lot of circles. And not getting too far. So Lightly Squeeze, Thomas. I bet you like a light squeeze sometimes.
No comment. Onwards we go to Wincanton, where we await Rory Gilargie's aforementioned moan. 1:30 is the first race on ITV from Wincanton. Over 2.5 miles is the Virgin Bet handicap chase. Celebra Dalen is the 9-4 favorite for Tom O'Brien. Philip Hobbs 7-2. Mezier de Zobo. Elixir de Nuts 9-2. 5-1. Kiltili Briggs alongside Magic Saint and 13-2. Galahad Quest. Rory, take it away.
Yeah, this is one of a couple of very tricky races at Wincanton, where I went through it and decided none of them could win before having to go back again and working out which one would. If there were 8 runners in this race, these might have been the 6 that I ruled out. But one of them has to win. Matt made a good point about the last race. Often you look at handicap chases and you go, well, that's too high in the weights. So that goes, you put a line through it straight away. And, you know, when you're dealing with competitive handicaps, horses who are just, you know what their level is and they've gone up a bit too high in the handicap, you just put a line through them. But there are certain races where you think, well, none of these are particularly well handicapped. Therefore, it's really a case of who's going to get the run of the race on the day, who's going to enjoy the setup most. And I struggled with this. Messier de Zobo is actually, I'm talking about horses who are well handicapped. He should be well handicapped at 140, but he's had lots of physical problems. And the question with him is whether he retains all his old ability. He's run twice over course and distance. He's won both times, including the grade two future champions novice chase here a few seasons ago. He was a very, very good novice hurdler as well, but he's had 2 or 3 longish breaks. He went wrong when he was going to win it at Wetherby. It's almost 2 years ago in March, where he went clear, looked like the race was over, and then they've overhauled him when he was pulled up and turned out to be lame again. He shaped as if he probably needed the run at Ascot in December 2021. But again, the fact that he's been off over a year since races question marks. Clearly well treated on his old form, but you can't really, as a rule, be backing horses like this in the hope that they'll show their old form. And I thought he was short enough in the betting. I think he ends up being a drifter. Kiltili Briggs is clearly not well handicapped. He won a weak handicap chase at Market Racing off 140. I don't think he had to run to that. He was pulled up at the Cheltenham Festival in the Ultima off 141. So clearly 142 is not a lenient handicap mark, but he will get this race run to suit. This is the right trip for him. The ground is right for him. There's probably going to be a bit of rain overnight at Wincanton, but it's a reasonably quick training track as well. So it's not going to get really soft. It might end up being sort of soft, good to soft in places. That will be just about okay for Kiltili Briggs. He doesn't want it any deeper than that. And he will get the run of things from the front. Now, if any of these are able to run to their level, then he'll be vulnerable. But he's a fair price, and I'm nearly coming down on him. But I've decided to take a bit of a swing with Magic Saint, who is the best treated horse in this race. Now, he's a really frustrating horse to follow, mostly because he's one of those few horses that Paul Nicholls seems to get wrong. He doesn't get many horses wrong, Paul, but everything about Magic Saint suggests that he doesn't quite stay 2.5 miles on a stiff track. And most of the times he's run at 2.5 miles, he's run at Cheltenham, and he's shaped well. He's looked a threat turning for home, generally speaking, hasn't quite got home up the hill. I thought he might get away with it here, particularly as he wasn't at all disgraced in any of his runs last season and has dropped from a mark of 154 to 143, which essentially becomes 136 when you take Freddie Ginchell's claim off. Definitely worth backing Freddie when he rides for Paul Nicholls. His claim, although he's lost a £10 claim now, it's still very useful, and I think he will pay to follow generally. Now, this is a classy horse, Magic Saint. Wincanton is not as stiff a track as Cheltenham by some way, and I think he might get away with 2.5 miles at Wincanton. The only question is whether he will be super fit for this, because he hasn't always shown his best form after a break, but normally he's being set up for a race at Cheltenham. You know, he'd have a prep at, you know, he might have gone for the Paddy Park, prep at Weatherby, and then on to Cheltenham. This doesn't feel like a prep for anything, unless there's another run at Cheltenham on Trials Day, which strikes me as being unlikely. So I will gamble on his fitness, because in terms of his ability, he would look better class than these on his day. So although I've got a little bit of trepidation about it, I think I've got to side with his class against horses who are either not in his league or just a little bit on the downgrade.
I think trepidation might be shared by Matt Chapman as he groaned in the middle of your preview there. Matt, first and foremost, what are the Chapman weather models saying for Wincanton? Are we expecting much rain up there, or are you just focused on Sandown?
I haven't really looked that closely at Wincanton weather-wise, but I'm not expecting it to be absolutely dry, that's for sure. I mean, Magic Saint, he's come there swinging so many times. But the one thing Rory does know is he's got a horse with the ability to win. Most of these, I think he's looked at the race absolutely correctly in many ways. Most of these, you wouldn't be surprised if they won, but you wouldn't be surprised if they pulled up. It's that kind of race. However, there is one horse, and it will come as a big surprise to Rory, that it's my nap in the paper tomorrow, who runs in this race, who I actually think is absolutely rock solid and well handicapped. The thing against him is his age, and it's Celeb Dalan. I cannot understand how this horse has dropped £3 in his last two runs. But anyway, he rattled off a whole load of wins for Philip Hobbs, having come from Louisa Carberry and had been racing in France. He then ran against Cool Cody in the Plate at the Cheltenham Festival, which was one of the most competitive handicaps of the season, and he finished a perfectly reasonable fifth. The handicapper dropped him £1 for that fifth. He then came back this season, having been dropped another £2, presumably just because he hadn't run. I don't know why. He didn't. He came back having dropped £1. He then ran over 3 miles first time out. Well, there's nothing in the form book that suggests that he's a three-miler. He has run a couple of times and been placed before over 2.6 miles, but basically all his decent form of late is over 2.5 miles, this kind of distance, or even shorter. They dropped him £2 for that run over 3 miles, which wasn't a disgrace at all. So he's come down £3 for me, having performed perfectly adequately in his last two runs. He's a sound jumper, whereas all the rest, I think, are very iffy, as in what they'll produce. I see no reason why he should be iffy. And if you go back far enough, he's even actually been to the track once before. Now, it was in a bumper, but when you look at that bumper with the benefit of hindsight, which is always a bit of fun, the winner was Sam Brown. The second was Lawlaw, who was a good horse at the time, if you remember, for Richie Woolacott, and it went to Paul Nichols. And Celeb Dallin was beaten less than two lengths in third. So I'm not expecting the track to be much of an issue, although obviously Rory would probably giggle to himself at that, comparing a bumper to a handicap chase around Wincanton. But, you know, he's at least been there and had a look at it. So, you know, look, he's not 20-1 or anything. He's probably start favourite, but I thought Celeb Dallin was really, really solid. The only thing against him, as I said right at the top, is his age. He's 11. So we can't really expect him to be getting any better. But he's only just turned 11. I mean, you could always say he's at the end of his 10s. Because he only turned 11 at the time of speaking, 6 days ago. If all I'm saying there is, if he was 10... you'd probably give him a lot more leeway than he's 11, if that makes sense. It probably sounds a bit weird, but I hope that makes sense mathematically.
He's not actually 11 until the 20th of April, if you want to do this properly. So, you know, if you want to
yeah,
do it
well, if you go on the day yes, he was born. Yeah. No, fair play, Rory. Thanks for that. So, yeah. So he's still 10, even though it says 11 in the book. They've got that wrong. I'm all over this thing. I just think the others are so iffy. Most of them look as though they're completely depressed, to be quite honest. I mean, I don't like saying that about horses because people will say, well, why are they running? But, you know, I just thought Celeb Dallin would go and win.
All over it like a bad rash is Matt Chapman. 2:05 at Wincanton is the Virgin Bet Fives handicap chase over a truncated 2 miles. Desk Delisle is the 7-4 favourite for with Paddy Barr. Intern de Savola 7-2. Not available 4-1, 9-2. Another Crick 8-1. Midnight Midge, Native Robin is 16s. And Cotto the King is the outside of the field at 20-1. Matthew, what did you like in the 2:05 at Wincanton?
Well, Venetia Williams is in cracking form at the moment. Having been a bit quiet, as we've already mentioned on the pod, but Destilio was the third Venetia Williams horse I really wanted to take on. Look, he's at the right end of the handicap, rated just 119, but he's raced quite a few times. He's 21 raced. And his back form doesn't really suggest that he's going to suddenly burst into 120, 130 chaser. Now, maybe he will, but he scraped home last time off 115. And now you're being asked to back him at quite a short price off 119. And he is a 10-year-old, although mathematically he might still be 9. I haven't checked that. But he is a 10-year-old. So I want to take him on is really what I'm saying. And I did find one that I wanted to take him on with. And that horse was not available for Tom Bellamy and Matt Shepherd. As people can see, it's all there in the form book. He's not a horse who's winning very much of late, but he's been higher in the handicap before, wasn't disgraced at Newbury just the other day, provided that this doesn't come too quick. And he can stay in touch because he has raced over further than this. The run at Newbury was over this trip the other day. I thought he had a good each-way chance, so not available.
For Matt Chapman. Rory De Laragy, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Matt. I want to take Destilil on, and he said exactly what I would say. He scraped home last time from a horse who's not as good as he was in Bundoran. I don't think that is especially strong form, and he's gone up £4 in the weights for it. He's vulnerable. There's no doubt he is. He's found another weak race, though, so you know, I can see why he's favourite for this. Not available less than I looked at not available long and hard, but I've backed not available too many times now. I napped not available 2 starts ago at Ludlow when he ran an absolute stinker. He's gone off at 13-2. I backed him at 25-1 the day before. Had a goodish bet on him, and I thought, well, that's it. He's completely gone out of the game. I thought he shaped really well at Chepstow in his previous start. Unfortunately, the three horses who came clear that day all disappointed. Next time, one was a faller, in fairness. But the winner, I thought, was going places, run badly at Chepstow, and I thought, well, I've just got that form wrong, particularly the way he ran at Ludlow. And then he's bounced back and run a much, much better race. He ran his best race in a long time, went third at Newbury back at 2 miles last time. Now, I can't really get my head around not available because I know he stays 3 miles well. he was once deemed disappointing because he couldn't give weight to a horse called Hewick over 3 miles when he was trained by Henry de Bromhead. But his best form came at 3 miles. And Matt Shepherd has dropped him back to two. He won a couple of times last season. And, you know, he's definitely well handicapped of 118. But I don't know what to make of him these days. The blinkers seemed to help him last time. And indeed, he wore blinkers for Henry de Bromhead and a few times and he ran to form. So it may well be the refitting of blinkers is the key to him. I wasn't mad about the quick turnaround, though. Only 7 days since Newbury. And that's the thing that's put me off not available. But I know it's one of those that the day I don't back him, he's going to win. And I'm going to be absolutely livid.
Rory, just to say quickly with him, I completely get what you're saying. And I looked through his form because I thought, is he just one of these horses that is slightly flattered by his form figures running in small fields, which a lot of horses yes. are at yep. the moment? You think they're ultra consistent, but actually they're finishing third of four, second of three. And in fact, they look as though they're really in great form, but they're not doing much. But actually, with not available, it's weird because he's been in the first three 15 times from 20 starts. So actually, if you owned him, he's a really consistent horse. And with him, he has been in quite big fields. Quite
I know.
And so
I've backed him each way at Ludlow at 25 to 1. That's what gets me. At least he's going to hit the frame, I thought, but no. So I don't really know where I stand. I'm neutral and not available. I'm worried about the quick turnaround for him. Yeah, he's got another different jockey on and Tom Bellamy again, which might help him. Another quick won this race last year and would have a very good chance if he repeated that. He hasn't gone close to that form this season. Noel Williams is struggling for winners. And first-time blinkers for a 10-year-old doesn't light my fire at all. Midnight Midge, I was with when he won at Taunton a couple of starts ago. I think a small field is important to Midnight Midge. He's not a particularly confident jumper. And horses like that tend to do better in smaller fields because they get a bit more time to measure their fences. And he was disappointing here last time. He's got a very mixed record at Wincanton. He's won here twice, but he's been he's run poorly on half a dozen occasions at the track. And part of the reason I wasn't with Matt's selection in the last race, not convinced by the form of the Philip Hobbs yard at the moment. He's running at about a 4 or 5% strike rate in the last few weeks, and that's off-putting when you're backing horses at single figures. Native Robin's got a good record at the track, but this is not his trip. He will be taken off his legs, the 13-year-old over 2 miles. He's only once run over 2 miles before. He wants 2.5. Court of the King wants good grounds. So it's against him. He'll make the running, but that very soft ground is very much against him. So I ended up coming down on In Turn to Civilla, which again is taking a chance, much like the selection at Sandown earlier. He hasn't achieved an awful lot in two runs over fences, but he's been in two impossible races for him. At Warwick on his debut, I was there that day. He was behind Stage Star, West Cork. And Skytastic was behind him. Again, he was held up. He didn't jump particularly fluently, and he's just plugged on for a distant third. And similarly, at Fosse Lass, last time out on heavy ground, in what was a pretty strong novice handicap, a race that's well worth following. He finished behind Complete Unknown, First Lord Kue, Bow to Greatness. Again, never in contention at all there. Dropped out at the back, schooled round essentially. Passed a couple late on, well, passed one late on. Pentland Hills was a faller. Those were tough races, and this is much, much easier. June Williams among the winners of late. She's a stable in best form here, if you want to look at it that way. He's a really hard horse to weigh up, but he's very unexposed. Still not even five. And he was a useful horse over hurdles. He ran in the champion hurdle, the Triumph Hurdle Trial at Cheltenham this time last year. He was then second to a useful horse of Milton Harris's at Fontwell, then turned the tables on that on his final start over hurdles at Stratford. So he's a horse with plenty of potential. It's a case of whether the two runs he's had have got his eye in enough for him to be able to show what he can do here. But with lots of negatives over everything else in the race, I'm inclined to take a chance and In Turn to Civilla.
The third and final race from Wincanton on ITV on Saturday is a 3:15. It is the Virgin Bet Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. And Chianti Classico tops the betting, a small field of 4, 4 to 7. Chianti Classico for Kim Bailey and David Bassler. Psycho 15-4, 9-2 Stoner's Choice, and 14-1 Longshanks. Watch Braveheart over Christmas, which rung a bell at me here. Great movie. Matt Chapman, what do you like in the third and final race in IGV at Wincanton?
Yeah, Braveheart is a great movie. This is not a great competitive race, though, as I'm sure Rory will point out in a minute. Look, I'm not even going to spend hours on this. I think Chianti Classico will go off in front. You'll get an aggressive ride from Bass. He's in form. He's only a six-year-old. There's absolutely, even if it was a bit more competitive, he would probably, well, he wouldn't probably, he'd start favourite anyway, but obviously it would depend on the opposition. But he's, put it like this, what I'm trying to say is he's a very worthy favourite for whatever race he goes in at the moment, because he just looks a progressive horse, and I can't really see any reason why he won't win this. Yes, they can fall over and all that kind of stuff, but essentially, he should just notch a win up in a very uncompetitive race.
Rory, is it simple?
Well, it should be. I mean, I'll not be punting in the race, but Chianti Classico stands out. I probably would have been with Jubilee Express if he'd run in the race. I thought there was a bit of upside to him. But Chianti Classico was a useful performer in bumpers last season. He's well bred. He looks like he's going to be a useful chaser down the line as well. And he won with a fair bit in hand at Market Raisin last time out. 1-3-1 doesn't look a particularly stiff mark. I wouldn't say he's absolutely thrown in, but there's not a huge amount of opposition. We know that Stoner's Choice is fairly exposed. He's been beaten off similar marks before, beaten 18 lengths of 2 pound higher last time at Doncaster. And no reason to think that he's going to suddenly improve now. He's also not a particular, well, he's not a fluent jumper of either fences or hurdles, Stoner's Choice, which is a concern. And Sir Psycho, similar sort of story. He's back over hurdles, having taken a heavy fall in his chase debut. And I think connections of both Sir Psycho and Stoner's Choice will be looking at restoring confidence as much as anything. So it really should be fairly straightforward for Chianti Classico. But this is a really bad time of year to be backing horses at odds on. There are plenty of excuses for horses running poorly. We had a horse that 1-16 turned over, 1-9 turned over on the all weather the other day. It's a time of year where horses get coughs and colds and no one's really aware of it until they run. So I wouldn't be encouraging you to pile onto Chianti Classico, but I couldn't possibly find one to beat him.
And that will do. So concludes Saturday's ITV coverage. Time for best bet of the day. Rory, best bet on ITV on Saturday?
My best bet on Saturday will come in the 3 o'clock at Sandown. And I hope I'm not stealing Matt's best bet here, but I think San Xavier is the clear pick in the Veterans Chase and is a very reasonable price.
Matthew of the Chapman family, best bet on Saturday on ITV?
I mean, slightly difficult on this one. I think Authorized Speed is going to win the Tolworth. I really believe in him, but I've made a big argument for him. I've napped him in the paper as well. So obviously I cannot go against Celeb Dalan, who is probably going to make me look very silly. But I just think I'm stunned by his drop of £3 for what looks two very good runs for me. And the rest just look so iffy that I've got to go with Celeb Dalan.
Lovely stuff, right. That concludes Saturday's preview. Matt, you're free to go. You're free to leave. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Take the cuffs off. Wish Rory all the best. And you, Thomas, hope everyone has a great new year. And basically, we smash Paddy up throughout the year. That's what
Cheers, Matt. Talk to you soon.
Stuff. Cheers, Matt.
Stay tuned. Cheers, myself Matt. And Rory Dunargy will be back with a quick look ahead to Nace right after this.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, oh, Sunday we go, and Rory is sticking with me here. Really good racing at Nace, with grade one action. The Lullers and Ace, novice hurdle, grade one is the feature, but some very interesting horses running. We've got, of course, in the opener, the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Beginners Chase. Sky Ace is in there taking on Tell Me Something Girl, an instant interesting little race to get things underway, Rory.
It is an interesting race. I was inclined to take a chance. I mean, I don't have any prices here, but I have a feeling that Bride's Hill might be underrated in the market. She was behind Tell Me Something Girl at Thurles. I was going to say that on Tell Me Something Girl's chase debut. but she'd taken a fall in her chase debut at Ferry House and essentially was ridden to get round that day. She was about nine lengths adrift of Tell Me Something Girl, but shaped quite well. And then she stepped up on that when runner-up here last time out. Now, you can look at that race in two ways. She split two very good horses in Journey With Me and Flame Bearer. I think most people would decide that Flame Bearer hasn't shown his form or hasn't quite stayed the trip that day. But I thought Bright Hill shaped very well. Journey With Me is a very, very talented horse who wasn't always right last season, but looked a really good prospect. So I'm inclined to think that that's solid form, and Bright Hill has run well to be second. I think a repeat of that gives her a chance of winning this. I wasn't impressed by Tell Me Something Girl's jumping at Thurles. She needs to brush up on that. I don't think Sky Ace, she's a tiny little mare. I don't think she's a chaser, to be honest. The danger is probably Instit, who was beaten a fair way in a grade two on her chase debut, but she was looked after that day. And her hurdles form from last season suggests she should do a lot better with that behind her. I think she's the danger to me, but I'd be inclined to buy Bride's Hill, assuming she's like third or fourth in the betting.
120 at Naas on Sunday is the Ratmore Stud Irish EBF Novice Steeplechase, and all eyes, Rory, will be on Appreciated here, surely.
Yeah, it'll be very disappointing if Appreciated isn't good enough to win this, or one or two interesting opponents at the entry stage. Really, he's only got Top Bandit to beat. Top Bandit shipped pretty well when second to him at Punchestown on debut, but there's no reason why he should be turning that form around. So it really should be Appreciated first and Top Bandit second. And you're not going to be getting much money, even for the forecast there. It'll be very short odds Appreciated, and Top Bandit will be clear second favourite as well. So a race hopefully to enjoy.
220 is the Lawlers and Ace Novice Hurdle, a grade one over 2.5 miles. We've got nine scheduled to go to post here. Afrodel Fury, Champ Kylie, Dawn Rising, Grange Clare West, Imagine. I know the way you're thinking. Irish Point, Calanese Star, and Monbeg Park for Farmer Doyle. The Doyles, of course, better known from the point-to-point field, selling horses at very big prices. But I might be mistaken, but I would say this is possibly their first ever runner in a grade one that's trained by themselves. But anyway, Rory, what did you like in the Lawlers?
I was actually with Monbeg Park last time out. I thought he'd appreciate the step up to 3 miles, but I remember saying that although he'd flashed his tail in his previous start, I thought he was fairly straightforward. He didn't look that straightforward at Cork, I'm afraid, and I'd be wary of him now. This is clearly a cracking contest. Irish Point has the beating of Champ Kylie on Royal Bond form, but I'm inclined to stick with Champ Kylie, who just did too much that day. I thought for most of the race, he shaped like the best horse in the field. And he traded very short in running when he's tanked himself to the front, but he just did too much under Paul Townend that day. He also, by definition, having to get to the front, he was stuck on the inside. And as it showed that day at Ferry House, he didn't want to be right on the inside in the closing stages. That didn't help him. It wasn't the difference between victory and defeat, but it made a difference to the margin he was beaten there. He was very impressive prior to that at Tipperary. I suspect, although he's won on heavy ground, he won a bumper in good style on heavy ground on his debut with Jodie Townend riding, I think he'd be better in slightly better ground, and he should get that. It'll be soft, but not heavy. That will help him. He's a horse I thought a lot of last season. He's no youngster, but I think he can turn the form around with Irish Points. It's not a two-horse race by any manner of means. Grange Clare West also in there for Willie, who's got plenty of scope for progress. And Afrodel Fury isn't one that I would give up on either. He would have won, in my view, in the Monksfield last time out. He outjumped his rivals until getting the last rung and coming down. But that was unfortunate because he chipped really well through the race. And he's one to bear in mind. He's a son of Affinity. He's a sire you're going to hear an awful lot more about, mainly because he's the most active sire in the British Isles. He had two absolutely huge books, and he's only having his first runners over jumps this season. But he will be producing plenty of graded winners in the next couple of seasons, I would have thought. So a really, really good race to look forward to. I've stuck Champ Kylie in my 10 to follow, so I'll be very keen for him to win this grade one. Maybe I've got rose-tinted glasses, but I would give him another go.
Very, very good. And you have a little fancy for one of the handicap hurdle as well, possibly?
I would have thought, I mean, most of these races, you're looking at shortish prices about the likely winners. Possibly a bit of value in the first, as I've said, but, and this depends how this is priced up, but I think there's a standout in the handicap hurdle. And that's Colin Murphy's gelding Katahala. Now, Katahala has finished no closer than fifth to date, but he's taken the eye in good novices so far. He was fifth behind Arctic Brazil last time out. Now, obviously, if Arctic Brazil goes and wins the Tolworth, that will suddenly look better form. But for me, he wasn't suited by the way that race was run. He's ended up in two slowly run races in his last two starts. And I thought he caught the eye making late ground at Cork to finish fifth, having got outpaced and lost his position. He's crying out for a step up to 2.5 miles. He's up to 2.5 miles. I'd rather it was an extra furlong or two, but this will be more of a test, particularly at a track like Nace and a race where they're going to go reasonably fast with the likes of Lowly the Fields and maybe the Chain of Consequence likely to set a reasonable pace. So what he wants is a good pace, Katahala. I'm sure he's an awful lot better than he's shown so far. He's young. He's from a good family as well. A mark of 109 could be very lenient for him. And I thought Katahala looks a bit of a standout there. Obviously, if he's priced up at 6-4, then, you know, you've got to put your hands in the air and go, well, everyone else feels the same way. But if he's not putting his favourite, I'd definitely be backing him.
Katahala for Rory De Largie in the 3:20 at Nace on Sunday. That concludes our look ahead to Nace. Rory, thank you very much indeed. What are the plans for the weekend? Working, taking it easy?
Well, I might go to, I haven't been racing in a while, and I might try to go to Sandown on Saturday, but unfortunately, we've got the spectre of rail strikes. And the last four times I've tried to go to Sandown, it's taken me about 4 hours to get there. And I'm only about 20 miles away. So okay. So if the trains aren't running, I could be in bother. The replacement buses tend to stop 1,000 times before they drop you off there. So if I can find a way to get to Sandown, I'll try to give that a go.
Okay, well, if you do decide to embark on that journey, I wish you the very best of luck. Thanks a million for your time. That is about all we've got time for. A couple of quick reminders. Don't forget, Paddy's Pick 5 is back this weekend, worth 25 grand free to play. Check out paddypower.com for all the details. And, of course, racing video content coming at you thick and fast on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Only recently set up. Make sure you subscribe. Give that a search on your YouTube. And we'll leave it there. That's all we've got time for. My name is Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Have a good weekend.